Please turn your attention with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. 2 Chronicles 31. 2 Chronicles 31, we are continuing to read about the godly reign of this good and righteous king, Hezekiah. Give your attention to the words of the Lord. Now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke in pieces the pillars and cut down the asherim and broke down the high places and the altars throughout all Judah and Benjamin and in Ephraim and Manasseh until they had destroyed them all. Then all the people of Israel returned to their cities, every man to his possession. And Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and of the Levites, division by division, each according to his service, the priests and the Levites for burnt offerings and peace offerings to minister in the gates of the camp of the Lord and to give thanks and praise. The contribution of the king from his own possessions was for the burnt offerings of morning and evening, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the appointed feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord. And he commanded the people who lived in Jerusalem to give the portion due to the priests and the Levites, that they might give themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the command was spread abroad, the people of Israel gave in abundance the first fruits of grain, wine, oil, honey, and all of the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And the people of Israel and Judah who lived in the cities of Judah also brought in the tithe of cattle and sheep, and the tithe of the dedicated things that had been dedicated to the Lord their God, and laid them in heaps. In the third month they began to pile up the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. And Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites about the heaps. Azariah, the chief priest, who was of the house of Zadok, answered him, "Since they began to bring the contributions into the house of the Lord, we have eaten and had enough and have had plenty left, for the Lord has blessed his people so that we have this large amount left." Then Hezekiah commanded them to prepare the chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them. And they faithfully brought in the contributions, the tithes, and the dedicated things. The chief officer in charge of them was Conaniah the Levite, with Shimei his brother as second, while Jehiel, Azaziah, Nahath, Asahel, Jeremoth, Jozabad, Eliel, Ismachiah, Mahath, and Benaniah were overseers, assisting Conaniah and Shimei his brother, by the appointment of Hezekiah the king, and Azariah the chief officer of the house of God. And Kor, the son of Imnah the Levite, keeper of the east gate, was over the free will offerings to God, to apportion the contribution reserved for the Lord and the most holy offerings. Eden, Miniamin, Jeshua, Shemaiah, Amariah, and Shechaniah were faithfully assisting him in the cities of the priests to distribute to the portions to their brothers, old and young alike, by divisions, except those enrolled by genealogy, males from 3 years old and upward, all who entered the house of the Lord as the duty of each day required, for their service according to their offices by their divisions. The enrollment of the priests was according to their fathers' houses. That of the Levites from 20 years old and upward was according to their offices, by their divisions. They were enrolled with all their little children, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, the whole assembly, for they were faithful in keeping themselves holy. And for the sons of Aaron, the priests, who were in the fields of common land belonging to their cities, there were men in the several cities who were designated by name to distribute portions to every male among the priests, and everyone among the Levites who was enrolled. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. And every work that he undertook in the service of the house of God, and in accordance with the law and the commandments, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. Sends the reading of God's word. May he bless it to us. If you like to read history, you'll know that sometimes there are chapters that deal with some of the mundane things of history. And for example, perhaps you like to read history about World War II. And some chapters are going to be about a great battle that's exciting and interesting and full of plot turns and changes and heroes and conquerors and villains and all the rest. But then there's other chapters that simply go through the details of amassing weapons and cataloging various things and showing how order happens, how things are established. That's something of what's going on here. There's no great battle, no great intrigue. Instead, in 2 Chronicles 31, what we have is a king simply being faithful, simply ordering his kingdom according to, as it says at the end, in accordance with the law and the commandments, seeking his God. Of course, it's not just Hezekiah that's doing this, but it's all the people of Israel, as we see when he commands them and calls them to give of these things. They do so, and very willingly. In this, we may not have one of the most exciting stories of 2 Chronicles, but we do learn several very important things about God and what he's doing in the story of the world, what he's doing in history, and what he's doing even now today. As we look at that and consider Hezekiah 31, it's helpful to remember what's going on in the broader chronicles here, the broader history. Remember, Hezekiah is restoring Israel. After a lot of faithless kings and idolatry, he is reestablishing worship. In chapter 29, we read about how the temple was reestablished. There was all sorts of offerings and things going on. The Passover was celebrated in chapter 30. More sacrifices were made. The celebrations of the Feast of Unleavened Bread were extended even for another week. But these special moments in Israel's history, their reestablishing of the covenant with God, now needs to be settled down in a more regular way. These special events that happen, these special celebrations and historic moments need to be regularized in a way. The worship of God in Israel and among us as well is not something that's supposed to just happen once every now and then in a special moment. The whole point of the sacrificial system, or not the whole point, but one of the main points of the sacrificial system was to show the regularness of it all. Even here we read of morning and evening burnt offerings, Sabbath sacrifices, new moon sacrifices. There's a calendar of regular worship that's going on, and it must go on. But in order for that to happen, there's two things. One, false worship needs to be put away, and that happens in verse 1. When they cut down the pillars and the Asherim poles, they break down the high places and the altars throughout Judah. They're not merely going to worship the Lord God alongside of other gods. No, he alone is God over Israel, and they recognize that fact by taking away the idolatry and false worship. But there's a positive side that has to happen as well. And that's that the priests and the Levites must be established in their duties. There's a lot of work that goes on in maintaining a temple, in keeping sacrifices going. Remember, too, the temple was not just about sacrifice, but other things went on there, prayer and various offerings. There were gates. It was something that needed to be protected. There was a type of even military force in a way there. Not just there at the temple and in Jerusalem, but the priests and Levites had roles to play even outside of Jerusalem. We read, for example, of these verse 19. It says that the sons of Aaron, the priests, who were in the fields of common land belonging to their cities. This is a reference to the fact that all throughout Israel, the priests and the Levites were scattered. In individual towns and cities, there had been parts of land that had been designated for them to live on. This is very significant because you remember that Israel is divided up by tribe geographically. Judah in one part, Ephraim in another part, and so on. Not so for the Levites, though. From the very beginning, the Levites never had any land. They never had a particular geographic place on the map to call their own. And that's because they were to be spread out throughout. They were to be ministers to the people throughout Israel, centering in Jerusalem, yes, but throughout all the land. And that means that those, as these men and their families lived throughout the land, they had to be cared for in their duties in those cities and in their duties when they would come to Jerusalem. All this to say is that there's several important things going on here. One is that as all of Israel is finally coming together again, after all of these years of being separated between Judah and Israel, now as the tribes come together to worship God, the Levites must not be forgotten. They are an essential part of these brothers of Israel, these 12 tribes. The Levites are essential not only as one tribe of this great family, but they're essential because they are the ones who are entrusted with the worship of God. And because they are entrusted with the worship of God, and that is their primary purpose, God establishes in his law that it is the other tribes that are called to care for the priests and the Levites. They had no means, really, of providing for themselves otherwise. Occasionally, they would farm some land, have some animals and things like that. But their primary calling was in service to the Lord in this way, and they were to be provided for by the people. So in other words, in order for worship to happen in Israel, the Levites and priests needed to be there and needed to be provided for. And Hezekiah understood this. Hezekiah knew that order and discipline and division must be in place. A system of care and provision for the priests and the Levites had to happen if the worship of God was going to happen. And order and division and systematizing and framework and leadership and management, that's throughout this chapter. Throughout, we read words about division. So, for example, in verse 2, Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and of the Levites, division by division, each according to his service. This is the language of classification, of paying attention to distinctions, making sure each person is in the right place at the right time. This kind of thing goes on when we read these lists of names, when we read about enrollment, when we read about certain people. So for example, verse 14, and Kor, the son of Imnah, the Levite, keeper of the east gate, was over the freewill offerings of God. There's a high priest as well. There are orders within the priesthood. Various people assigned to various tasks. Some people assigned to assist. Again, for some of you, these kind of details probably get you really excited. For others of you, maybe not so much. But the point is, either way, this framework of rules and order and discipline has to be in order in order for the worship of God to take place. And this is true of every part of God's work in the world. Whether it's in our families or in our churches today, in our governments, in the animal world, and all kinds of places, we see that God is a God of order. A God who is working of things at a very detailed level. Even in the heavenly places, there is orders within the angels, various degrees of glory and assignments and provisions. There are those who lead and those who follow. There are those who assist, those who work together, those who work separately. But all together, though there are differences, it's all to the glory of God. Hezekiah, this great king, understands that. He doesn't let the worship of God be a fly-by-night kind of thing. An emotional experience, a wonderful high that sort of passes into the night. No, he recognizes that this is to be a regular part of Israel. And so he wants to make sure that the priests and Levites are provided for. He begins by leading with his own example. Verse 3. The contribution of the king from his own possessions was for the burnt offerings of the morning and the evening and of the Sabbaths, and so on. And then in verse 4, we read that example is to be followed. Verse 4, he says, and he commanded the people who lived in Jerusalem, to give the portion due to the priests and the Levites. Why? That they might give themselves to the law of the Lord. So Hezekiah begins with this example, and he calls other people to this as well. And what happens is truly remarkable. The people start giving and 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 giving until there are heaps of things. Heaps of things. Some are according to the tithes. There were many different kinds of tithes in the Old Testament. In accord with all the tithes, these things were brought in. But other things as well. Things that had been specially designated. Or as we read earlier of Korah, the son of Imnah, there were also free will offerings that were given. Offerings that were given above and beyond even what was required. The people were giving and giving and giving. Hezekiah, being a good leader here, follows up in verse 9. After commanding that this had been done, he goes to the priests and he says, well, how's it going? Is it working? Are you being provided for? And Azariah, in verse 10, the chief priest, who was of the house of Zadok, answers the king and he says, since they began to bring the contributions into the house of the Lord, we have eaten and had enough and had plenty left. For the Lord has blessed his people so that we have this large amount left. There are so many examples of this in life. The one it reminded me of was the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, which were mentioned earlier in Matthew. Do you remember what happens there when Jesus provides, even as Azariah says here, the Lord has blessed his people so that we have this large amount left. Remember, Jesus was with his people, and there was food that needed to be eaten, people needed to be provided for. So what happened? He asked that a donation be given, and it was a small donation. In one case, just 5 loaves of bread. Do you remember what he did with those loaves of bread? By a great miracle, he multiplied them to feed 5,000 people. And not only did he meet their need, but they picked up 12 baskets full afterwards. He asked his 12 disciples, to go throughout with baskets and pick up leftovers. I kind of imagine, you know, after the state fair leaves and there's this trash everywhere. They're sort of going through on the ground, just picking up bread. And they fill so much. The Lord over and abundantly blesses his people. And that's what's happening here. Now, it's very important to point this out. Because there's two kinds of giving that's going on, isn't there? On the one hand, the people are most definitely giving, right? They are giving of their money, or their grain, their oil, their honey, their animals. All of this is going to feed and take care of the priests and the Levites. And yet, when Azariah describes it, he says that it is the Lord who has blessed the people, and we have this large amount left. Here we are reminded that the purpose for the people being in this land from the very beginning was that so that God could bless them in this abundant way. So that there would be so much provision, so much blessing, that people would have more than they knew what to do with. And that's what's happening here. As the people dedicate themselves to the Lord, he blesses and he blesses and he blesses. And it says at the very end, he prospers King Hezekiah. This is a foil to the things that we have seen before, where people have gone, kings have gone after false gods and followed false patterns of worship and have sought to secure the blessings of the land in other ways. And what happens when they do that? They die. They end up in trouble. They end up being conquered by foreign kings and all kinds of things like this. But when God's people go under him and under his authority, he pours out his blessing on them. That's what's happening here to Hezekiah. That's what's happening to Azariah. And they're all recognizing it. They're all seeing it. The greatness of these heaps is ultimately a testimony to the greatness of the Lord's generosity, the Lord's goodness, and the Lord's grace. Behind all that's going on, behind the generosity of the people, behind King Hezekiah's faithfulness, behind the good work of the priests and the Levites, behind it all is God who is caring for his people. God who loves them so much that he is providing for their every need. Not just physically, but their spiritual needs as well, as he is establishing the regular worship of Israel in Israel. Now, of course, God is more than capable of providing directly from heaven, let's say. You remember that when the people were going from Egypt to the land of Canaan, God literally brought down bread out of heaven so that the people could eat. If God wanted to provide for the priests and the Levites this way, he certainly could have. It's not a weakness, however, on God's part that he uses humans to provide for each other. It's a sign, I believe, of his great strength. He can provide directly, and he does. But when he also uses tools and means like you, me, to provide for one another, we see this marvelous work of grace going on in a body, a group of people who are described as a family or members of one another. Now that's remarkable enough in Israel, that's full of people that belong to one another by blood. How much more remarkable is that when God does this with a people that are separated from each other in all kinds of ways? We only being able to trace our common ancestry back to Noah or Adam. We are very diverse. We're from all kinds of places, all kinds of backgrounds. We come from different kinds of families and so many other things. But God brings us together and helps us to take care of one another. He gives us gifts of love and generosity and service to provide for one another. And as we do that, he is glorified. God draws us into his work of love. Not just participating in it even, but sanctifying us. He makes us a useful people. How does that happen? How do we go from being people at war with one another, people angry at one another, people with all kinds of reasons not to like one another, to people that are bound together in this one faith? Well, it happens because of the work of God. Here, God does it through Hezekiah. But he later sends Hezekiah a son, David's son, Jesus, who does a similar kind of work and is doing that in our midst, but he does it to an even greater degree. If you understand Hezekiah, or in order to understand Hezekiah, you have to understand who Jesus is. Jesus is like Hezekiah in establishing good order and providing for his people and distributing gifts and leaders and all of these kinds of things. But he's unlike Hezekiah in that what he establishes is eternal. When Jesus the King comes into the world and organizes his people in all of the tiniest little details of our lives, he does so in a way that will last forever. Indeed, the New Testament tells us that we ourselves are the temple in whom the Holy Spirit is dwelling, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. The work of Jesus in the world is much like Hezekiah's, but it's a work that will last forever. And it's a work that's going on here and now. We are who we are, providing for each other as we do, taking care of one another, each according to our callings, showing love and service and time and money and all kinds of other things because of what Jesus is doing. Israel, we've seen, just like us, is entirely incapable of holding themselves together as a family of God apart from God's divine intervention. And that's what Jesus has come to do and to do once and for all. So when you give of yourself to others, when you give of your time, when you give of your money, when you give of your emotional energy, learn to give it as Hezekiah does, as the people do as they follow after him. Do it in accordance with the law and the commandments, but do it seeking God. Do it with all your heart. And do it through Jesus and faith in him. Because he's the one who's upholding us. He's the one who's pulling us together. He's the one who's establishing his worship here and now in Tucson, in all the world, and forever. Let us give unto the Lord and watch how he blesses. Let's pray.